Good evening, and welcome to Release Your Wings. We're continuing our very special series on experiencing God. Tonight we're talking about God as an ocean of peace. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. Welcome, Shireen.
Thank you, Dan. Wonderful to be here with
you. It's great to be here with you. So this is a great area now, an ocean of peace. When we're talking about God as an ocean of peace, what do we mean?
First, can I explain about peace?
Sure.
And then I'll explain what I mean by the ocean. For me, peace is a state of tranquility of mind, not just physical tranquility, but my mind is at rest. It's not chattering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in order. My whole inner being, everything about me inside is experiencing harmony.
Mm.
There is freedom from a lot of oppressive feelings and thoughts and emotions.
Conflicting goals and
conflicting
things like
goals,
that.
Even conflicting things with other people, conflicts with other people, all of that.
I see. So within that tranquility, is peace one of the great shortcuts to happiness? Is it a requirement for happiness?
It's funny you should ask. I always feel peace is essential even before happiness.
Before.
That many times people want peace because once you have peace, then it's easier to have happiness.
Yeah.
I feel you can't have happiness if you don't have peace.
The Dalai Lama would agree with that, I believe. I think he talks about that, is his meditative practices and finding peace as the way to happiness.
Right.
So
right.
Happiness, as we're using it here, is more a joyfulness than I'm happy because I won the prize. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's just a high and low of an emotion.
Got it. So the ocean of happiness when you're experiencing God and the ocean of peace are very, very similar in that. Is that right?
Yes. And so when I talk about God
mm-hmm.
as the ocean of peace, so what I'm saying is that his tranquility is never-ending, is self-replenishing, it's immeasurable, it's unlimited. He's always tranquil. No one can give him a bad day. He never has a bad mood.
So
he's constant.
Yeah, the BK tradition then doesn't have an angry God as the Old Testament would.
No. He's always very peaceful, always in harmony with himself. There's no inner conflict. There's no oppressive emotions going on. None of those things going on. No fear, no disturbances inside, no upheaval.
No disappointment.
No disappointment.
Yeah. That's nice. So the peace and tranquility you're talking about isn't just absence of war. It is true evenness.
That there is no warring inside.
Aha.
That he doesn't have any kind of conflict inside about anything.
Yeah, I suspect that most of our conflicts with others start with our unhappiness from being inside.
Yes.
Does that match pretty much with?
Yes. Yes, I always feel that if you want to experience peace,
mm-hmm.
especially let's say you're having a fight with someone, if you want to experience peace with them, the first thing you have to do is go inside in your meditation and stop warring with yourself.
Yeah. With my favorite song within New Thought Churches is "Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin with Me." Because if we start with our internal peace, then it makes it easier. And that's part of that way of starting with our internal peace is tapping into our experience of God, I would think.
Yes. And that's what is the meditation practice, I feel, is for me, at least in the morning and 1 minute every hour, that if you go and experience yourself as that peace, that I am peace. And actually, we have a formula for peace, or I have a formula.
Good.
I have a formula for experiencing peace. And my formula is, the first part of the formula is that I become soul conscious, or I become that soul, that being of light, that point of light.
So that is your deep meditation, even with your eyes open,
you're
sensing that.
That I'm sensing that, I'm experiencing that, I'm a point of light.
Got it.
And then the next one is I go to what we call the soul world,
mm-hmm.
which is where God lives, which is our region. The reason we call it soul world is this is really not our home. This is where we come to play our part. We have costumes and we have the soul playing the part. But in the soul world, it's our home because there's no costume it's without the physical body, you're just as a soul there, and that's where God is. And so it's a like a golden orange light, and it's way up above. And so in my meditation, I go there, and I connect with God in that soul world. And so for me, invariably, every single time, without fail, that works.
Got it. Is that just the two-part formula?
Yes, that's it.
Wow.
Actually, you could say three-part. I experience myself as a soul, I become soul conscious, I travel to the soul world, and then I connect with God in the soul world.
And then you experience the ocean of peace.
And
Yes, right?
And then I experience him as the ocean of peace.
In another program, we also talked about part of that is the sense of love, of respect, of generosity.
Yes, and that feeling that he's never going to reject me. That there is no fear for me, that God doesn't have any fear, and he doesn't, not even 1 minute, 1 second, at any time did I feel any fear of him.
Yeah.
And that actually really helps, because he doesn't have that quality. And so when I am experiencing any of those emotions that I don't want to hear, I go and connect with him, and I take from that peace.
So some might ask, if I'm not afraid I'm going to be punished, why be good? And I suspect realizing peace is the answer to that. Is that right?
Right. We are our own worst enemy. So if we are not good, then we are blocking ourselves from experiencing that peace.
So
I refuse to believe that anyone on this earth would say they're here to punish themselves.
But we often do punish ourselves.
Yes, but that if you ask someone, they say, do you want a beating? What will they say? Will they say yes?
Yeah.
No, they won't. And so, but if you ask someone, would you like to experience peace? They'll say yes. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way, I feel that we should just understand that we're here to experience peace. And that if I'm doing anything bad, then I am shortchanging myself. It has nothing to do with anyone else.
So you're being good, having a righteous life of sorts, is not for a long-term promise of something better after you die. It is for this moment of time. Your connection with God is diminished by bad behavior, or it's enhanced feeling good, the ocean of love, the ocean of peace, by a coherence of goodness.
You know, it's interesting because nowadays many really, even very, very educated people who don't really believe or prescribe to any particular religion are talking about being good, moral people because they understand the value of it.
Yeah.
They understand the value of how good a life you can have. So people, you could say morality in itself is not necessarily, oh, you're bad or you're good. But when it applies to you, when you apply it to yourself, you need to do it because you're going to you have a better experience.
Yeah, and also within that, I would think that pointing at someone else and saying you're bad is getting in the way of your own peace as
exactly,
well.
Exactly. I always remember a few things when I want to experience God as peace. I remember a few things. And the reason why I was reminded when you said is one of the things is that I remember him as a detached observer. The reason why he's able to maintain that tranquility of mind, that harmony within himself, that quietness of spirit that he has, the reason why he's able to maintain that is he's a detached observer.
Not really emotionally involved.
Invested in what's going on or what is happening. None of that. He's not getting into any of those things. And so when I judge someone, I step away from being a detached observer. So what I'm doing is I'm stepping away from my peace.
So in the judging of others, we are judging ourselves, or at least moving away from the peace.
Yes.
I've heard the BKs talk in terms of peace, of the power of silence. Could you elaborate on that for me?
When we talk about silence, that there is a silence within the soul that is just a complete harmony, a complete silence of there is not even thought. And in that, when there's that harmony, there's no cacophony going on, and there's that silence, that in that I'm able to experience God. And also it's a power. It really is a power that you can move a lot of things, not only within yourself, things that you haven't been able to change, but also many times I've seen it reflected in other people.
I see.
Like when I was working, I used to use it a lot. When I was coming, if I came into conflict with my bosses or my colleagues, I used to use that.
How so? Give me the formula once again on that.
I used to really experience that silence, go to the soul world and experience that silence, where the need for talking or the need for hashing things out or need for arguing was much less. Mm-hmm. And I somehow felt it changed people. In so many instances, I can tell you it changed people, where it would have become a big conflict and it just went away. And I believe it was because of the power of silence.
I appreciate this because in people from other traditions, I personally have also experienced, sometimes when you're at odds with someone, going inside, getting quiet, and loving them as unconditionally as possible, approaching unconditional love as we'd experience through God, somehow these disagreements clean themselves up inexplicably.
You know, I always feel now, especially now, this is my thought always. I say, it doesn't matter people don't like me. It doesn't matter what people think of me or what people think of that or that. Mm-hmm. What matters in this case is that there's no impure feelings going towards anyone, impure thoughts going towards anyone. There's only pure feelings and pure thoughts going to everyone. All I'm judging is, are my thoughts pure? Are my thoughts peaceful? Because when they're pure, then I can experience peace.
Well, that must take the pleasure out of watching football games and fights and the news even.
I don't do any of those.
Oh, okay. So I wonder if that would be your training to get better at it, if you'd watch something where we create the morality play of our lives by saying, this party is good, that party's bad.
It just bore me, especially like football games.
Yeah.
It just bores me because I can't get into the whole duality of this team should win and that team shouldn't.
Yeah, but you were raised in India. How about soccer? How do you feel about the same thing, huh?
Oh, cricket.
Cricket, right. Well, I can understand not getting involved in cricket because it's one of the most complicated games I've ever seen in my life. I've tried my very best when I've been in countries that everybody was huddled around the television watching a cricket game with scores that made no sense at all to me. But back to God, which is probably not related to that particular thing. On a day-to-day basis, that touching the silence is something you've used, you know, in your business world. In your touching God, touching the silence in reaching God, that is the path. Is that right? Getting quiet.
Yeah. You know, I want to mention a couple of things that I use for my path to experiencing God as the ocean of peace. There's one thing called solitude.
Yeah.
And when I mean here solitude, I mean it in a totally different way that I get myself alone and isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Not physically.
Right.
What I do is internally that there is no other thoughts going on. And I'm able to focus on just one thought about God or one thing about God. And that one focus and that one thing helps me experience peace.
So
and
it might be generosity or it might be the
unconditional
love.
Or it might be just sitting in the soul world and connecting with Him and just experiencing Him as just that light and that energy. So when I'm able to do that, then I feel that there's peace for me. And then there is another aspect of it is, I mentioned the whole detached observer part, but introversion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically a very introverted person, and so that comes very easy to me, is that introversion is it's not like I'm introspective as such, but I'm more just going within, and I'm focusing just on myself.
Got it.
Not on someone else did this or said this or wanted to do this or wanted to do that, but I'm focusing more on myself. And so in that state also, it's easy to connect with God as the ocean of peace.
So when you're focusing on yourself, you're really focusing on your relationship with God, not on what happened or what you did. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I suspect that at least some of the people watching us may be going through some sort of cacophony right now. So I think maybe that sense of losing oneself in the solitude of the moment, that might be a shortcut. The other thing might be to go learn meditation at a Brahma Kumari Center or somewhere else, I would think. So if you're experiencing anything, I hope we've been helpful to you. And if you're not, I hope we've been reinforcing to your personal experiencing of God. Thank you for joining us. It was fun, Sheree. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Good night.